podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
On New Year's Eve, Manchester City come to Anfield and Manchester City get disposed of in a very gnarly ground-out 1-0 Liverpool victory, which means that Liverpool look like Chelsea's closest challengers at this point. They've opened up a gap on Manchester City, beating them by 1-0. So Liverpool's gnarliest performance of the season so far. And to chat to me about it here, I'm Neil Atkinson, by the way. I've got my three gnarliest contributors. I've got Gareth Roberts, Phil Blundell and Rob Gutman. Rob, yeah, I would say you're the least gnarly out of these three in front of me. I'll come to you last on this.
If I'm not second.
You're very much second. And Gareth Roberts, you might as well have done the team talk and dictated the tactics. That was what I call Robbo football. Is that fair?
Well, yeah, you won't be surprised to know that I absolutely loved that game. It was wonderful in every way. And I saw Milner had come out after a match and said, like, you know, it's basically our worst performance of the season in terms of what we actually want to do, but, you know, we won anyway type of thing, which I love that quote. But yeah, it was great. They just fought for it, didn't they? They just fought and fought and got the result. And there was loads of little mini cameos that I really enjoyed, but I think probably my favourite is Clavin down on our goal line. Where he just holds, I think is it Fernandinho? Just holds him off.
Yeah.
Wrestles like forever.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a better one than that, you know.
Just holding him.
Exactly.
Just going, you're not going past, mate. You're just not going past.
There was a Wijnaldum, one of them, in injury time at the end, right at the end of the match, when he just basically stood in Sterling's way, I think.
Well, there's
a Milner one where Milner throws his body at him, and I thought, that's a pen.
There was loads of that. I mean, it was if there was any concern for me, it was almost that they started with too much of that, you know. So we give a free kick away, don't we, in like the first minute or something, in a fairly decent position, and you're like aye and like, and Clavin gets an early booking as well, and I just thought, oh, I'm not sure about this level of gnarliness. But then they sort of found the level and you know, found what they were doing and just didn't let City play all day, which was fantastic. And big shout for Wijnaldum's header. That's one of the best headers I've ever seen.
It is the best head arrival.
He arrived like a train.
Absolutely.
He headbutted it into the net, right?
Yeah.
To be that little, there was no weight on that cross at all. None. It was just well placed. And he's not a big lad. He can't use his body to get weight. He had to spring, had to put so much into his knees and so much into his neck to do it. I don't think I've seen it. You know, you can think of the great headers of all time. It's definitely one of them. It's an amazing goal.
You see where he runs from as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when they give it away, he's there, isn't he? When they give it away, and then he's run 50 yards to get on that.
Well, when he runs onto it, and I'm looking behind him, and Firmino's completely free behind him. Just leave it. And Firmino's in. Oh no, hang on, we scored.
It's kind of the goal you've been waiting for him to score, because, you know, if you look at his show reel at Newcastle, he does arrive late in the box and score those goals, and he scores the headers as well. And there's a thing going around that he doesn't score headers. He does score headers.
Does now?
Yeah. Is there a thing going around that he doesn't score headers?
Yeah, there was.
Because he the most scored a header yesterday, just to confirm.
Oh, yeah,
it.
Yeah.
It definitely happened.
And he does, and he did, yeah, I think of his 12 odd for Newcastle, I think there's a good four of them are headers anyway. So, yeah, he scores headers.
He scores headers. and it's the defining thing
like
of the game.
On his gravestone, is it?
Well, it should
he
do.
He scores headers.
It's the defining thing of the game, Phil. I mean, genuinely, because we go 1-0 up the way in which we do. We're not playing particularly well. I mean, I'm intrigued by the Milner post-match quotes, because that almost suggests that part of the game plan wasn't make it as mucky as you can, boys, because the team selection suggests that's the case, if we're honest about it. Certainly suggests there's an element of that, wants to retain the ball, maybe, but wants to win battles in the middle of the park. But when we go 1-0 up, it completely defines the whole of the game, and especially come the kickoff of the second half, the game is defined by the fact that Liverpool have got the goal they think they can get away with, they think they've got their goal, and that's that.
We dragged it down to a level that sort of really wasn't for Manchester City. Like, if you look at the players they've got, how many of those players are really type players who'll have a scrap and go to war for you? Like, De Bruyne, they're all good, they're all very good footballers, but they're not likely to sort of go to war, is the best phrase, really, isn't it? Like, De Bruyne, I mean, Sterling to an extent maybe, but he's still not. If he's going into combat with James Milner, that's a strange phrase, but we'll go with it, then you're backing James Milner every day of the week, aren't you?
Well, yes. it's what happens, Rob, I thought. It's one of the things that happens when actually good players choose to play like this to a certain extent, when they decide they're just going to win the battles. It's one thing, you know, if you come up against an Allardyce outfit, as an example, the players are probably not going to be good enough. And at some point, someone like you, Sterling, is an example. In fact, De Bruyne is a better example. At some point, Kevin De Bruyne says, no, I'm really good at football. You've seen us do it all season when sides have tried to drag us down to their level. There's just some sort of moment in the game, and it's often about half an hour, where suddenly three lads have done Cruyff turns, and they've got tons and tons of space, and the ball's slipping around so fast you can't live with it because they're not good enough. Whereas when very good players, and James Milner as an example is a very good player, almost the collective decision's made, we're going to battle, we're going to scrap, we're not going to worry that much about pinging it to each other, the passing's not going to be the most important thing, we're 1-0 up and we're just going to see this game out any way we can. When very good players decide to do that, then it's difficult to deal with. And there was only really a 15 minute patch in the second half where you thought City are bang on top here and look like they can do something about it.
Yeah, I tell you what, shortly before kickoff, I mean, maybe the day before, I read some interviews with Guardiola about Klopp, facing Klopp teams, and it made me totally judge how the game was going to unfold from how I'd seen it a few days before. And when you saw the Chan selection, you go, yeah, this is how... Because Guardiola had noted, I think the record between them is 1-4, they both won four games. Guardiola had noted that when he played expansively with Bayern Munich, he said Klopp's team would just try and pick us off on the break. He said they'd unleash their sprinters on us, were his words. And he said where we got results is where we weren't so expansive, we were more compact, we were more... He gave the impression that they were more prepared to dog it out. And I think Klopp thought about that and thought about how Guardiola had been successful against them and thought, we'll just outdog them. If that's what they're going to do, we will outdog them. I thought it was quite clear early on that it would become a game of legs because they're both hard-running teams. I thought, geez, let's find out here. We've out-legged every team we've played this season because loads have thought, I'll tell you what we'll do, Liverpool, we'll give you a terrible first half.
Well, we've
hour.
Had the ball as well, which is the difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Yesterday we didn't have the ball.
Yeah, well exactly.
What was the possession yesterday?
42% Liverpool.
Felt like a lot less than that.
Yeah, at times, but I felt early on City were working very, very hard early on. I mean, in the 8 minutes before we score, they're working very hard, and they work very hard after we score, even though. And I wondered how long they'd last, but I thought we looked very, very leggy, and it was mental strength that got us through that game. Very leggy indeed. It'll be interesting for tomorrow.
Well, that first half, every one of them just worked their absolute balls off, didn't they?
Yes.
And I mean, as much as we say it's a plan or it's a setup, I don't think it's a plan or a setup to give the ball away as much as we did either. I mean, I was having a look at some of the stats when I was coming in, and like some of the passing stats for individuals are like in the 60%, which is not great.
Same for them, I imagine.
Yeah.
They were terrible in possession.
And you know, it did become one of them. I mean, and also if you look at where sort of like the game was played, all of it's just around the centre circle. It is like, you know, getting to like Sunday league level.
No, I was going
to
say,
just smashing into each other.
I was going to say that's actually, Gareth, I was thinking it whilst I was watching it, that there are games between very, very good football teams, very, very good footballers, very clever managers that can actually, I was thinking of whilst I was watching it, they can just sort of degenerate into effectively 90 minutes of two sets of lads just trying to win the right to play because they're really well matched. So there's no, as I was saying before, we've seen this season and we've seen Man City play as well, but we've seen it with this Liverpool side. There's that point where you've won the right to play and now suddenly you're playing. And no one, I don't think, as I say, apart from maybe a 15-minute patch for City, it was just still winning the right to play all the way through the game.
Yes.
Because they were just, it was a series of one-on-one battles all over. Like, for instance, I think Milner has a really good game against Sterling, but I thought Sterling was great. He terrified me every time he got the ball. And this is the sort of the point, is that, you know, there's no one was able to rise above it. And that's, in many ways, it's just a reminder that for all the talk of the genius of relative football managers, it's still 11 lads against 11 lads. And that was what that was yesterday. It really was that sort of football match.
Yeah, and I don't think on either side anyone knocks off at any point either. I mean, I think you see that where, you know, when you say you're in the right to play, I think there's a psychological aspect to that as well, where you see another team go, do you know what, we can't live with this. You know, like, and one thing we were talking about at our time was whether Liverpool had put that much into it, but without having the ball at times, there was a slight concern in our conversation about whether, you know, Liverpool do run out of legs later on, and I was like, nah, they're the fittest team in the league, and then, but even in the back of my head, I was thinking, yeah, but they've had the ball, and we all know that it's easier to rest when you've got the ball and all that sort of thing. So I did worry, but on both sides, yeah, it was 100 mile an hour, and everyone wanted to win. I mean, you mentioned Sterling, you know, he was going the other way as well, Sterling. He was battling
That's what I mean.
In his own half, and he was quite needly as well, and he had that little run in with Milner on the line, didn't he, and stuff like that. So yeah, there was loads of it. I mean, they just both wanted to win. I mean, talking about another conversation I had there before the match, I was in the pub. I'm just one of my mates just goes, like, you know, we were just talking about how we saw it panning out. And one of my mates mentioned draw, and honestly, about six lads jumped on him. All just, we can't have a draw. Can't be a draw. Look at Chelsea. And I think City felt the same way. I think both teams knew a draw wasn't good enough. And neither team wanted a draw, and that was you could see that in the way the game panned out. They just kept smashing into each other for 90 odd minutes.
I didn't think City in the end though showed enough courage to get something out of that game. I thought they had that spell in the second half, but they didn't feel to me like, and he started bringing on attacking player after attacking player, but they didn't seem to commit in numbers enough. I thought if they really wanted that game, we'd have had chances on the counter because they left themselves open.
We didn't counter well though, did we?
Was it Firmino when
Lallana in the first half?
That was terrible. Like, I was stood up giving him both abuse, and my dad
grabbed my arm and go,
it was offside, you know. And I'm like, yeah, I know it was offside.
It was terrible.
I want to kill the two of them.
And then in the second half, there's Mane and Origi do similar thing.
The ball went the wrong way, I think, didn't it?
Either Mane goes left when he should have gone right.
That was it. He went out to Firmino instead of out.
But there should have been. But to be honest with you, there should have been a lot more of that available to us if City had been courageous enough. And I don't think Sterling played well at all. He doesn't play well against us. I think he worked hard. There was times when he was pressing well. Of course, you know, you're right in that you're nervous when you see him because you know he's a very good footballer. But I don't think he didn't
get much change.
He got no change out of James Milner at all. I think individually they'd have to ask a lot of questions about themselves. De Bruyne flattered to deceive. I thought Aguero was their big danger in the first half, but then he seemed to fade.
Didn't touch the ball in our penalty box.
Yeah, but they don't create for a team of that level of player. They create nothing. I mean,
we don't let them. That's
well,
the
yeah. Well, I know, but
we basically.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I mean, I've seen loads of stats this morning, but I haven't seen the ones in terms of like running and all that sort of thing, or even tackles. But I imagine both of them are really high because we just don't let them play. We do the Klopp stuff that you're now used to, the pressing and all that. But we pretty much did it for the 90, and we did it more so to the players that needed it doing too, if you know what I mean.
Yes,
so like Sterling, like De Bruyne. I mean, he got away a couple of times. There was one in particular, I think Firmino gives it away, and he started advancing towards goal, and you just thought,
pass.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
And there was loads of bodies flying in, and I think it might have got a deflection as shot. I mean, there's still a couple of more. I mean, Silva flashes one past the post as well.
That's the shot. That's about it, though.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
What they do have is pressure from corners and free kicks. They must have had half a dozen of those free kicks where, you know, it felt like about 6 months ago where we would concede one in every two. You know, that wide free kick which just needs a half-decent delivery and we'd concede it.
Just put it in the right area. And it's
we didn't seem in any danger, funnily enough, from those. And then they had corner after corner, and every time it was a red head to it first. I mean, that was actually the best we've defended on set pieces. I mean, I don't know if City are particularly shit on set pieces, but we were really, really good defensively.
Mad one from Minion. Though, wasn't he? Where
which one was that?
Flicking it up in the air and all kinds.
That was
absolutely nuts.
Well, I thought.
Did you enjoy that, Rob?
Yeah. No, do you know what? I was fine.
Honestly, because it was very Brucey.
What?
What Mignolet does there?
Yeah, I know, but it's the context of what you're thinking. Mignolet with Brucey, you're kind of full of trust and the second thing. Look, I'm not getting at Mignolet. He was perfectly good for me yesterday.
Yeah, he was.
A couple of kicks which made me groan, but nothing. I've got nothing to hold against him. I mean, he's winning me over slowly but surely.
There was one kick in the first half where it basically went straight up in the air and landed 35 yards from goal.
I fumed at that. I was too busy celebrating how much I loved Ragnar Klavan, and now I think he's at least as good as Jamie Carragher at his best. He's absolutely superb.
The discipline he showed, by the way, given he was on a yellow card for 82 minutes. As soon as he got booked, you're thinking basically that's he's either going to get sent off or it's going to inhibit him.
It's a proper experienced defender's performance. Yeah, wasn't it? I mean, there's loads of times where he's just in the right place, and therefore he didn't have to go to ground, and he's just blocking with his shins and his knees and everything else. He's just always like just a bit of a pain to play against.
And he's good on the ball, but
great, yeah.
He's so concentrated. He's at the moment, to me, he's undroppable. I think the last few games, undroppable. Him and Matip would be my first choice if you know any.
But what's Lovren done to deserve dropping them?
Nothing. But he's not as good as Clavin. The other week, he's shit when the cross comes in against Stoke. Is what Lovren did, which wasn't brilliant.
Lovren did a mad one, actually.
He's not brilliant at the moment.
Only one in the 90s, but they're just, he spoons
astonishingly harsh.
Yeah, it is harsh. He played well.
I'm not having a go at Lovren. I just think Matip's a better centre-half and Clavan's the right man to play alongside. At the moment, on form. If you're going on form.
Do you mean the one where he spooned it up in the air and then brought it down with his head or something?
I think so, something like
I think
that.
I think it was in front of me. If it's
just a bit mad. Yeah. And in terms of chances on the break, just complete... this is chaotic, this chat, isn't it? But
it's fine. The game.
I've just remembered another one as well. The absolutely brilliant Milner ball to Firmino that he doesn't control.
Thing is, you back him to take that touchdown. Yeah,
everyone in the ground,
out of 100,
all the players to not bring down. It looked a tough. It's a tough control for an average player, but
not for Firmino.
For Firmino, it's a doddle, and then it's
he
a
did
goal.
It 100 times. How many times do you think he controls that?
No. Great ball.
1995.
You see, we have genuinely threatening situations in that game. You know, for a game that's tight, we definitely make more half.
It's one of those where if you don't win, you come out of it going, well, We were nearly there. But we managed to actually get the decisive moment of the whole game, because it was basically the whole game is done on that. It meant that we can defend the 1-0 lead and they have to try and break us down, exactly. And as opposed to us then having to
I
score,
think I, there's a little thing in it where I felt where it being 1-0 sort of suited us a little bit more than it being 2-0, and I normally don't think like that, but what would have happened then is, I think what Rob was talking about before, Phil, when he was saying how City never quite completely decide, right, we've just got to go for it. And I think that one of the things... Yeah. Not least
2-0,
because
we may as well use 3-0.
We may as well just lash things at this now and see what happens. Whereas, yes, he is bringing on attacking player after attacking player, but there's no point where you feel as though they've gone, right, we've got to kitchen sink it now, because we've got no other moves. The only move is to absolutely throw everything at this. Yeah. And I was actually thinking, when we saw that their purple patch out, I was actually thinking, listen, obviously I take the goal, don't get me wrong, I go bananas if we scores. But I was thinking, you know, the only way they get another proper one of them is if we go 2-0. And then, because also we mentally then go, right, we've got two goals to defend now, let's just get back in, boys, and hope to pick them off.
Yeah, I think that their approach is obviously going to be quite... At 1-0, you are always in the game. All it takes is a 94th minute deflection. And so therefore you can't go all in on everything, because
it can be
you
a false sense of security, can't it?
Yeah, because you can then you leave a gap at the back, someone exploits it, you're done. The game is literally gone.
But this is in the context of you wonder what Guardiola said to them before, and Rob, because I was actually thinking about this when I was watching it, and I was thinking, in many senses, I like something that Sean Rogers says a lot on the review show, which is that footballers often the worst. When Liverpool, for instance, score early against West Ham, as far as West Ham are concerned, well, the worst thing's happened. The worst thing that can happen has happened, i.e., we've conceded an early goal. So now, and they realise the worst thing isn't that bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wonder whether or not City had drummed into them, and sometimes managerial instructions, you get the impression, can go both ways, and that you can put a bit of fear into your player's mind. And that City had told to them, the worst thing that can happen is that you go two behind.
Yeah.
That had almost happened. The worst thing that can happen is that you get hit on the break. We are not going to get hit on the break by Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool.
Yeah.
I'm not standing for that.
That was it.
And that's what they played like. They played like a side for whom the worst thing that could happen is going 2-0 down. But the worst thing that's happened, lads, happened. We've gone 1-0 up.
Yeah.
But I understand how you can get into that mindset. And so they didn't want the worst thing to happen. And that's why they never absolutely throw everything at the situation.
Yeah. And I think because the goal's early and they back themselves, they think they're lulled
they
into
think we're footballers. We're good footballers.
Yeah. They think that's what we're cool. Like, as he'll have said to them, you could go one down, but be cool, you'll still have your
don't
moments.
Let it go to two.
Yeah exactly. You'll get your, and I think the game sort of passed them by. I mean, I nudged Judo sitting next to me, and it was 8 minutes on the clock, and I said, tell you one thing's a racing certainty, this isn't the last goal we see today. I said, there's no way this just ends up a scrappy 1-0.
I very much don't think you were on your own there. I think.
A scrappy 1-0. But you know, we talk about the way the game went and the way City had a lot of the ball, etc, etc. Of course, it's a different game if Liverpool don't score. if the first goal isn't until the 35th minute, the reason it's a game where we're a bit rear guard is because we've got the lead. And it's absolutely right. If you've got two evenly matched teams, one strikes the first blow, the onus is on the other to be the more dominant, and it's always the pattern that way. The fact that we saw it out was remarkable. I mean, that last 10 minutes, which were hugely nerve-wracking at the time, but didn't need to be, where we had the ball at the corner flag for about 10 minutes, it felt two or three times.
Well played, Origi.
It's one of those at the
great corner flag work, wasn't it?
It was great. It's funny. It's one of those games at the final. The tension in that last half hour reminded me of how I felt when we played Barcelona in that semi-final, the UEFA Cup in 2001, where we beat them 1-0 to reach the UEFA Cup final, and I was in bits.
Yeah,
I actually almost couldn't function. I was in so much tension in the game. But as then the final whistle went, I just went, that's all it was. You know, they hadn't actually done much, City. But the potential of them doing it was horrible. But they didn't actually...
The fear of what they might do was greater than what they actually did.
Yeah.
Was there basically a lot of respect in what Liverpool did, wasn't there, for them? You know, in terms of everything.
I think he showed them a lot of respect.
The team he picked, how rigid the shape was, how deep they ended up being, all of that was respectful of what City have got in their armoury.
Our taking the 1-0.
Yeah.
We would have taken. When do we take 1-0? And that's not just because we were forced. I thought we made a conscious decision, even maybe by half time, to take the 1-0. Mm. Now, we don't do that for anybody. I worried early on about that level of respect, but I suppose the ends justify them. I mean, the selection, as you said, the Emery Chan selection.
But what's really interesting now for me as well is that, you know, people are talking about the league being over and all that, dickheads like Robbie Savage and etc. But it's clearly not. And to be, you know, I thought it was brilliant what Klopp said about, you know, Chelsea could be going, win 13 in a row and we're still six behind. Mm. You know what I mean? That's got to be getting in their heads a little bit, especially when they've got to come to Anfield. But what
could be 3 points on there.
Yeah.
The way
the games actually falls in our favour for once, isn't it, if we can beat Sunderland. But I think what's interesting now is that we're getting ourselves here at a good record against the big teams.
We're top of the mini league.
It's 11 from is it 11 from 15?
And that can be
We've won 3, drawn 2, and we're top of that mini league of 6.
Yeah. I think that can be quite crucial because it seems to be like, you know, everyone's beating the teams you expect them to be by and large, including us. So that's where, you know, the top of the league could be won and lost. So I think there's absolutely loads to be made up about what you're watching from Liverpool. I mean, all the things that are coming out, all those little facts and figures that you always get after games as well. So like Liverpool are on 43 from 19 now, and that's the best in the since 1990. We're unbeaten at home all year as well. It'll be a calendar year unbeaten at Anfield. I mean, they're all
unbeaten in a calendar year at Anfield. Bloody hell! When did that last happen?
Man United in the league.
The league.
Yeah,
because the League Cup somewhat skews it because we got beat by Stoke in normal time, but we went on and won the game.
Yeah,
on
that's not real in that sense.
That's not real.
Well, no, it's not. It's not in terms of.
I'm just saying. Are we just talking about it being 12 months?
Yeah,
that we're doing right. Okay, because we got beat by United last year, didn't we?
Yeah,
January. Yeah.
January. But I mean, all this sort of stuff, it does feed into the general bounce around, and also the way in which that these players who are good players, Gareth, are also able to do the stuff that we saw them do yesterday. I mean, for instance, Firmino's left. And I do wonder, again, you know, maybe part of the reason why his touch sort of fails him on a couple of occasions is because he knows that his job's to scrap through, but you're seeing him, he's winning. He's battling four headers. No one got an easy ride against him. He's running channels.
He's in our half winning things. And if there's any concern for me now, it's just how much they poured into that game and we've got another game. And I know he'll obviously rotate and he was quite gnarly about being asked about that. But he will do, won't he? I mean, you know, I think we all just had a little conversation on the way up the tower saying, you'd fall off a cliff fainting if Sturridge isn't starting after he doesn't get a sniff there.
I think he's literally the first name on the team. She's Bob Minuli. You're like.
And then, but then it's interesting and it'd be interesting to hear what you say as well about what else you think he changes, because I literally think they would have all been absolutely goosed in that dressing room afterwards because, as I said before, not every single one of them put everything in that game to get that 3 points. They've got it, they've won it, but now they've got to go all the way up to Sunderland and win there as well.
Does anyone know how injured Henderson is? Do we know?
He came off very easily.
But he didn't go down the tunnel.
No, he didn't. But it's his heel.
It's the other heel. It's not the one they had the problem with yet.
Then there's fuck all wrong with him because I saw him out the way he walked off. You know what they seemed to do as he came off? He seemed to swallow some tablets. I saw that, it was like a couple of Nurofen for some swelling or something. I don't know. We could speculate.
Could have been blisters.
I have to say, if you're going to rotate, or a bit of cramp in your foot, and he's come off, you put Jordan on the bench or give him the night off altogether, because you could, against Sunderland, Emery's not got a lot of games in his legs, you go him at number, can I do this, or am I rushing ahead of the agenda?
You're rushing ahead of what I wanted to do, but let's do it now anyway, because it's very much linked. But it's also the nature of these games. I mean, the reason why we're all up on this tower, literally within 12 hours of it being New Year's Day, is because we go to Sunderland in about 3 minutes. So, we're setting off within 24 hours of right now to go to the next game, and this is how mad this is. And it's mad, not just mad for us, it's mad for everyone. Yeah. But, you know, when I keep saying it, but when the fixture list people meet, they should think of the podcasters.
The tall face of podcasting.
They have actually made a mess of these Christmas fixtures. They should have been playing on the Friday night before Christmas. Everyone should have played Friday.
Do you know what? I'm actually made up the way they're falling somehow. That New Year, as a New Year's Eve thing, that football was brilliant. I don't know, just we won, but the whole thing around it.
But then... Also, wouldn't it have been better if everybody had played on Friday night and then Monday, for the sake of everyone, really?
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Do you know what? For me, I get to watch another football match really quickly. I'm just really delighted. I'm so happy to be in City. I would actually like to watch us today. Tomorrow's absolutely fine. And we get to go on, the team.
Go on, because I think you're going to see England's Kev Stewart.
I think that's possible. I've got a hunch. I want to start with the formation. I've got a hunch because Sturridge feels like his number one on the first name on the team sheet, because Origi doesn't start.
Ajari has been on the bench though, hasn't he? Adder Stewart.
I'm saying a 4-4-2 diamond, and I think Origi and Sturridge up front. I've got a feeling Firmino might be rested or given a cameo from the bench later on. I think Mane might play behind those two. What he does with that, the three behind them, then is really hard to call. Does Henderson get rested? Does England's Kevin Stewart come in?
I think Henderson would have played for certain had he not got the injury.
Yeah.
So now it could go either way. So I wonder if he just sort of commits to the idea of Stewart and maybe plays Ajari as well. So almost goes something like Stewart, Chan, Ajari and Mane. I agree with you. I think it'll be a front two of Sturridge and Origi. I think that he's got his eye on that.
I think that
the other thing that will happen, it may well happen, is I think Lucas is going to Sunderland.
Yeah.
And I think if everyone wants Lucas to get his loan and if Lucas is going to go to Inter Milan, it wouldn't even surprise me, Gareth, if someone said to him, you're staying till Plymouth, mate. You're not going anywhere.
Well, there's already a slightly new line on it today, which is saying, you know, it was almost felt like foregone conclusion that he was gone. And I think Gibbo mentioned in his ratings about, you know, he didn't throw his boots in the cop, so you know, maybe he's staying. And then the Echo have said today that, you know, it's sort of not signed and sealed, as people were saying, really, because while Liverpool are prepared to make an exception for Lucas because they feel he's been a great servant and all the rest of it, and also he turned down a move because Klopp said, stay, we need you for cover, basically. So now it's like the opposite. If you want to go, you can go if it's right for you. Basically, the Echo was saying this morning that it's not right for everyone at the moment. Like, Liverpool, I don't think, are happy with this idea of it being a loan and then permanent. So it seems to be off again at the moment. And he to me comes in handy for Sunderland, definitely, because if there is any doubts even among the two centre-halves, I mean, we both just said that they both played really well. But I've no idea, and no one can know, what the fitness is like and whether they're struggling and whether they've got a little knock. So maybe Lucas steps in for one of them, you don't know, but you'd think that he's got to freshen legs up somewhere.
Moreno's going to start.
I think Moreno, yes.
So Moreno starts, probably Klein probably starts. I'm writing it down as a go, lad, you know. I think there's
a chance Trent might play, you know.
I don't think he'll go too nuts. I think.
Is that nuts though?
Do you know why I don't think? I feel sorry for Trent in that I think Trent will play if it wasn't for the fact that he may well be up against Big Victor.
I think he's strong and fast, but it's one thing having shown
that you're strong and fast at under 18s level to suddenly come up against Anachibi, who's only interested in winning headers against you for 90 minutes and holding up. I thought he, whilst he couldn't get up and down the pitch, Big Vic, he very much put, you know, a couple of times he won his battles, he holds it up. He's
Is he injured?
Gnarly. Well, they're interesting because their legs have fallen off and they just got beat 4-1 by Burnley. I'll tell you what their team was yesterday. We'll come on to that in a second because we can't concentrate on anything because we're giddy. sorry about the Anfield this week. There's no agenda. There's just lads who are giddy about winning leagues and going to Sunderland in about an hour. That's the way that this works. And I'm most definitely hungover. Other things to point out actually from the game. I mean, it's easy to gloss over on the... A lot of what was said, Gareth, before he makes the bold move around the goalkeeper was that Karius was offering the defence a surety or a shape a little bit different or all of that sort of stuff, all the more sort of general tactical stuff. Mignolet, to me, seems to be the calmest he's ever been. Mm. Yeah, and, you know, there doesn't seem to be anyone's worried about him. It seems, and I could be wrong, and this is very much a feeling from the outside, but for instance, I used to think, you know, when he shouted... Everyone was always a bit like,
yeah, whatever, lad, yeah.
Whatever he's saying. Yeah, whereas that doesn't seem to be the case now either. No. There is the whole thing appears to be that he's fitted back in and he's fitted back in plus, if you know what I mean. And you could see that there was complete assurance amongst them yesterday.
Yeah, definitely. The psychology of the situation's changed, hasn't it? And I think you're right to even include the people in the ground as well. I mean, he did have that mad moment, but from what I can remember and what I thought at the time, it didn't feel like everyone went, like they were doing for a while with Mignolet. You know, like it was like everyone expected a mistake from him. Now it does feel, and there just seems to be less of a buzz around the whole goalkeeper thing, which I'm really glad about, because as you know, I was really bored of it. he's just playing all right. He's doing okay. He's solid. He's not the greatest goalkeeper in the world, but he's doing a job. And in general, there seems to be, to my eyes and ears, better communication full stop at the back. I mean, I noticed, it just stood out to me when you just notice something and you're at the game, Milner screaming at people at the back as well yesterday and just making points about where people were and what they should be doing. And I thought fantastic, because it doesn't seem that long ago where they seemed a very quiet team and they seemed like there wasn't communication and you wondered whether there was enough leaders in the side and all that sort of thing. Right now, sound. Seems good.
Right now, I thought they were wobbly 5 minutes after Henderson went off. I thought Chan dropped back in, and I actually thought that was us our most vulnerable for the first 5 minutes before again Chan went, no, it's all right, I've got this. But what I'm trying to say is that it's that sort of game. The captain's very much led what we're about first 45 minutes. But then the armband goes to Milner, and you don't go, oh no, where's the inspirational captain who's doing all this gone, what's going to happen now? Instead, you're just thinking, no, there's tons of lads here who know exactly what they're about. Clavin's one, Lovren's one. You know, as I say, Milner's one. Klein has got, you know, he's got tons and tons of games under his belt. Mm. You're actually looking at them, and they all look now. They look like a set of footballers almost coming to the boil at the right time in their career to do a lot of what we're asking them to do. And I thought that's what you saw there yesterday. Was, you know, as I say, Henderson went off, and there was a wobbly 5 minutes for Chan, but everyone helped him out. No one left him to his own devices. They were just a proper football team.
Yeah, and I honestly feel like they all know, despite what's being said in the wider world, in the mainstream media, and it feels to me that they all know that this is a real opportunity to do something, and that they don't want to wait till next season, and they're not interested in 3-year plans, 5-year plans, and all the rest of it. Now, let's go now. And I just thought there's loads of bust on a gut everywhere on the pitch yesterday, including the goal. Because, you know, like I say, Wijnaldum's starting position to where he ends up to putting it in the net. Even if you slow that down and watch it as well, when Lallana's crossing it, Wijnaldum's over here somewhere. There's two City defenders there. And if you just stop it, pause it there and go, who's winning that ball when that comes in? It's a City defender. But it's not, it's Wijnaldum, because he absolutely busts the gut to get in there. It's a great header. But it almost signalled the performance that. I hope he gets in the box more and does more of that, by the way.
All right, then Sunderland, as we are just going to flit about the gaff. Sunderland and Manone in goal because Pickford's out. They lost yesterday. They lost Kone to an injury on 25 minutes. And they lost Anachibi at half time and off of the hamstring strain. Tino came on for him, so there is an argument therefore to maybe do something with well, there'd be an argument anyway, but they've got injuries right the way through the squad. I mean, you know, they're missing so many.
They're managed by David Moyes,
and they're missing absolutely loads of them, and there's some of them obviously all going off to the African Cup of Nations as well. But it's, yeah, Watmore's injured, Kershkov, Katamol, McNair. I'm trying to drive at here is that they haven't got the option to freshen Phil. They're going to have to pretty much...
Well, they could do, but they could bring in some footballers who just aren't good enough.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, this is why I was saying, I think the City Talk show on what I don't know what day everything is at the minute, so
don't worry about the days.
But this we can complain about this fixture turnaround all we want, but it is actually a massive advantage for us. It's a huge advantage for us because we're a fitter team than Sunderland. We can both put our strongest 11 out, and our players will be fitter and better at football. Or we can both change our teams, and we'll have a better team than them that's also fresher. Or they can stick with their tired lads, we'll play fresher lads. Or they can put fresher lads in, and we can have tired lads who are better at football than them.
Significantly better.
So there's four scenarios there, and I fail to see how any of them do not benefit Liverpool.
And it's about, yeah, but it's, if I'm being pessimistic, it's a bit like playing on a shitty pitch, or in as much as they can rotate because they're all shit, right? It's slightly easier. But there's no drop off. So it's not about that we're
better. There is drop off, though.
Of course we're better, right?
There is drop off, though. If they take Jermaine Defoe, who do they play instead?
But they've got to play Burini. They've got to bring someone else.
Jermaine Defoe is what, 36?
Yeah, 35, I mean, he's lost on Chibi. But we play Burini, though. Burini can run, and I've got no doubt Burini plays against us. But, you know, Januzaj, Defoe, Anachibi, and Burini all played against Burnley, and Anachibi went off injured, and the other three, I've just named there, did 90 minutes.
Yeah.
They all did 90 minutes, whereas we kept Sturridge back and had a look at Origi for 25 and got him to run some channels and hold it up in the corner. I mean, so I understand.
Who played sentiment for them yesterday?
Larson and John O'Shea.
Well, that's, you know.
I mean, he's got Kasri on the bench. He just doesn't use him.
I think he
looks like a good player, so I'd be a bit worried if they brought him in. But he's bringing Pienaar off the bench to replace Anachibi. Pienaar's 35, 36 himself at this point. We should have too much. Gareth is sort of where this is driving now. It's football, and you know that sides can, you know, they could get an early goal. They could literally get a goal that bounces in off a beach ball.
Not now. The referees probably know how football works in terms of the laws.
But they could, you know, what I'm saying is something awful can happen. Liverpool could go 1-0 down. We could be knocking on the door all the way through. But we should be going there to be the better side. I think that's the key thing. We can be the better side. We can put the better footballers out on the pitch. We can put the fitter footballers out on the pitch. And we should be having the attitude of, this is a game that we can win. And that's where Sturridge comes in. And, you know, if you're Daniel Sturridge, you're getting told one thing by Jurgen Klopp, and you've been getting told it for a while, you're going to win us that game at Sunderland, mate. These are going to be your 3 points.
And what's good about that is in the little cameos that you've seen, Everton, Stoke, he's looked sharp. He's looked ready to go. It's not like he'll be coming in ring rusty. He looks like he's the proper deal, Daniel Sturridge. And that being the case, you know, all the best. Because, you know, who is it who scored an hat-trick there? Gray for Burnley. Yeah. Come on, Sturridge is better than him, mate. I mean, Sunderland can't defend. You know, as yesterday's proved for them. And like, what if they took 14 points from 19 games? That says it all. I mean, they've had a little.
We've taken 13 in December.
Yeah, I was going to say. they have a run, and it feels like Burnley was the end of their run. And you're absolutely right to say Liverpool go there knowing that they are a better side, whatever 11 they put on the pitch, and all that matters. Because I mean, whereas we talked about City just before and said, you know, both sides in a way were respectful to the other, both managers were respectful to the other because they both knew there's huge threats on both sides. Well, you've just been talking about Sunderland's players. You know, one of their best players, as Phil's just said, is Defoe, and he's 36. And you're only worried about him because he can finish, and he's got a track record of doing so. But again, if you don't let him get the ball, if he never gets a touch in the box, then he can't score a goal. And equally, Liverpool will have touches in the box. Liverpool will create chances. There hasn't been a game all season, really, that I can think, where we haven't created chances.
Even
Burnley, even Southampton, there were chances. We were in their box, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I really can't see us not winning.
Just because I'm nervous and maybe superstitious about it, but...
Come on, Rob, no.
Well, at least they call it devil.
When are you going to write your preview?
I've half written it.
Good lad. I was just concerned about that there in my head. It's tough, isn't it, all this?
Thick and fast, this stuff. Jesus Christ. I've knocked off 800 words this morning. You're only getting another 100 off me, Gareth. There's no 1,500 word
That's
opus
fine.
This one.
I've got stuff to eat this afternoon.
But I've said in it already. There's one gazelle
hey,
I've got.
Bank holidays, Rob. Imagine them. Go on.
There's one thing I've actually said in the preview already. I know they're shit, and I know we're better, but they came to Anfield a month ago when we were perfectly fresh, and it took us till 70 minutes to break them down. They found the level, and we managed
to
drop
down.
But
so were they.
Sorry?
They were fresh as well.
Okay, so there's the same kind of parity. What I'm saying is they managed to narrow the gap that day. To think it's a formality, they're on their ground.
I've got a bit of sympathy with this, Rob. I think it sort of suits Moyes.
It's harder to defend when tired than it is to attack.
I agree with that, but I think it sort of suits. I think one of the issues that Moyes generally has is he can very much treat this like it's an away game at home, and that's something which I think is quite hard to do a lot of the time at any level of football, because your home crowd does not want to see you do 10 behind the ball and Jermaine Defoe trotting around up front. They want to see you try and play a bit of football. Whereas I do think what actually helps Sunderland here is the expectation is just get what you can out the game. We're in trouble. We've lost now at Burnley. Get what you can out the game, and they'll take it. And Liverpool are coming. They've just beaten Manchester City and they've scored the most goals in the country. So I agree with you, Robin, that one of the things that they can do that maybe they couldn't have done if we'd have gone there in September is they can approach it like, we're just going to absolutely just see you out. Yeah. We're going to absolutely kill you. We're going to give you no room, no space. There's going to be nothing in behind. We're just going to basically stand on the edge of our own area.
The Alamo. You know, they'll punch the air at 0-0 in the end.
Exactly. So I think that I can see your point on that one, that the way in which that can play out for them suits them down to the ground, suits them mentally, that they can just do it that way. I take your point, Phil, that it's hard to defend when you're tired. But
I think it's hard to attack when you're tired, and
it's harder to defend them.
I don't know. I think
you have to concentrate more as well as actually legitimately do it.
But say they park the bus, which I think Neil's right, they will do. If they park the bus and you've got to have guile and you've got to movement and zip and add tempo and find ways through, even a shit team low blocking can cause problems.
This is why I'd start a Jardia.
Yeah, that's a shout. Yeah, I just don't want too much. I don't want too much of a League Cup team.
No, I'd start. If we can't have Henderson, my midfield three. I agree with you, Rob, in terms of the shape, the diamond with Mane at the tip of it. I'd do that, and I'd go Chan, Stewart, and Ajaria.
I might gamble on.
I'd love to play
Chan, Wijnaldum, and Ajaria, and
I think it could be Chan, Wijnaldum, and Lallana.
Do you think he might ask Lallana to go again?
He might do, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's he might just go. Knowing Jurgen, he sort of like perversely defiant to go, do you know what? Same 11. Fuck it. I mean, not same 11, because Chan, he won't go so compact in midfield.
Did Lallana come off against Stoke as well?
Lallana comes off on 70 against Stoke.
Then that's 20 minutes put on his legs, then, isn't it?
I think he might go Lallana, but I think he obviously definitely starts Sturridge.
Yeah.
Sturridge is absolutely.
I think Chan will start because he's got the least games in him, and I think Henderson's an unlikely starter given that he had the injury. So I think Chan is the natural player to play at the base there. I think Sturridge, Chan, and Origi we can take to the bank almost. I don't think he'll make changes at centre back. I think that would be really that'd be too risky. He will also be bearing in mind that he can give them now 9 days off after this, so it's not like he's saving them for anything. Yeah. He might just go, do you know what? Play on adrenaline, lads. You're better than them. Just go with all tomorrow. Put three subs on at half time. Not literally, but it might be sort of implied.
Or get it one.
You know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I see. He either goes with a lot of changes, the two up front, the diamond, or he goes, fuck it. Do you know what? We're on such a high right now. I'm going 10 of the same 11. He takes Chan out, maybe. Or Chan comes in, Henderson goes out, and Sturridge comes in, or Origi comes in.
But I think he starts Moreno. I think he's protected Milner all season from the idea of, for instance, Milner's. I don't think Milner's kicked the ball in the League Cup, or if he has, he just came on to do 5 minutes. In fact, he came on and did 5 minutes against Leeds. But yeah, apart from that, Milner's not. I think what's the point of having Moreno?
Yeah,
and do you think, this game
do you think I agree with you that that's probably been the plan. But do you think if Henderson isn't available, that could influence
it? That's a good point.
Just back to the leaders on the pitch thing.
That's a good point.
I think he picked a team for these two games before City, right?
I think
he picked two 11s. He had them on the piece of paper side by side. And he knew what he was doing. And I still think he'll probably stick to that. And I think it means people like Moreno come in, Ajaria might get a game, he might do 4-4-2, and there is that leader. But I do think he might have looked at that City game and gone, he might have looked at that dressing room afterwards, and we're guessing there was tiredness in them. There may have been such a spring after that. There may have been such a euphoria that he thinks, we can't not harness this. They can have a rest all for 9 days. I might just go again, although albeit obviously with one less midfielder and one more attacker. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably all sleeping in oxygen tents and all kinds right now, aren't they? You know what I mean?
I wish I was sleeping in an oxygen tent. If there's any room in those oxygen tents, Jürgen, lads, give us a shout.
Or if any listeners have got one.
Yeah, anyone's got one knocking around, wouldn't half help. Okay, let's go back to the football match we're meant to be discussing. But what happens is that you get carried away, because one of the reasons why Philip was such a big game was what it does at the top of the table. You know, we want to go and put the pressure on Chelsea. If we beat Sunderland, we're only 3 points behind. But that's why it was such a huge game, and I think that's one of the reasons why it plays out the way in which it doesn't. Someone that you just mentioned there, you know, that it's astonishing, I think, what you get from Lallana now. I think you always were getting some of it, and it was because there was an end product, and there was an end product elsewhere on the pitch. There was a lot of onus and a lot of pressure on him, and that's where people were seeing the shortcomings. But the sheer intelligence of him all over the park, he knows when to go, when not to go, he knows when to sit, he knows what to do. He knows that basically, just like, can we just do this for 2 minutes? He's such a clever player.
He's one of the best things I think he can do is he knows what he can and can't do. He knows he's not quick, so he doesn't try and beat someone with pace. He'll turn and then turn again. If he has to turn 3 times to beat someone, he's happy to do it, even though it'll be like, people will be, you know, getting pretty angry the fact that he's just doing daft croy turns in the middle of the pitch, which is what it looks like to some people. But he knows that that's what he can do and what he can't do, so he doesn't, it makes a footballer 10-15% better when they do that,
when they know the strength.
I mean, I remember, as an example, I remember Jace Bearden was playing for Liverpool and he tried to play a 60 yard crossfield pass. It's like, mate, you aren't good enough to do that, don't do it. All he needed to do was pass the ball to a red shirt 5 yards away, and if he'd have consistently done that, he would have been a better player. And it's the same thing, don't do things that you can't do. And Lallana doesn't do that. And we've got a lot of players who actually fit into that bracket. Now, they don't do decisions. You aren't watching us and thinking we're making stupid decision after stupid decision after stupid decision, which this Liverpool team's in the last sort of 5 to 10 years where you just want to pause the match and go, what are you thinking there?
I don't think Lallana was great yesterday. I think he worked his arse off and he did his job in terms of the wider unit. But I felt when he was in possession of the ball at times, he was a bit timid. He was out-muscled quite a few times. I mean, he's been sensational lately, let me stress this, but I don't think that was one of his better games. Not that he shrunk a bit, I think...
He still created the goal, didn't he?
Yeah. Although, yes, he does create the goal. He does create the goal, although...
Firmino also had a big part in that.
Yes, he did. I mean, Lallana can toss that ball from that position in 20 more times a season.
Yeah,
that goal.
That's true.
But I'm not damning Lallana here. He wasn't one of my picks yesterday, I suppose, is what I'm saying. I think...
Well, it probably wasn't a game for him.
No, true. I think...
He's not a physical footballer who'll... You almost sound like you're selling him short by saying that, because he'll get involved in that, but he's not like Emre Can, who's what, 6'3" and built like a house and can throw a bit of muscle about. He's not that. He's just not that kind of footballer.
No.
So it was... That is probably why he was reasonably good, because he didn't look...
I think
that was a game that probably wasn't for him.
It was a game for performances where no one, you can watch anyone's show reel and go, oh my God, that's a great example of that sort of player is. I don't think any one of them really, apart from maybe Clavin and Milne, because they're literally defenders.
I think it's harsh on him because I think the type of game it was and the fact that he's moved into the position, he's moved into the front three, isn't he, Lallana?
Yeah.
And he still has an influence. He sets up the goal.
Yeah.
I don't think he gives it away too much in that attacking third. But he's just involved less because of the position.
That's
Firmino's not involved much, is he? You know, he doesn't do much, if you like, at the end of the pitch that you'd like him to see. Like, I think Firmino, and I remember him popping up in, like, sort of left-back position and winning the ball. And ideally, you don't want that, but... It's the type of game it was, wasn't it? You know what I mean? I think no one is going to be looking at the stats out of the Liverpool players this morning going, great that.
Yeah.
Maybe Clavin.
I think Firmino was interesting. I think Firmino was more in the game, was more influential, but actually he actually managed to be negatively influential a couple of times. Some of his passing was wayward. But then in that last 10 minutes, when we needed someone to have quality on the ball to get us, you know, down the line a few times, he was really, really good for Firmino. I mean, you know, watch good players when they're not able to be at their best and see what they can still contribute has always been something I've always looked for. And Firmino is one of those. You go, that's a 6 out of 10 Roberto Firmino, but he was still very important.
He had Zabaleta on toast. Like, just...
Yeah.
He just glided past him. Zabaleta's rapidly gone from being a really good right back to the slowest footballer I've ever seen in my entire life. Yeah. I think Maurizio Pellegrino would beat him in a race.
That's not me exaggerating.
I've never seen a player go like this. I've been wondering for a few months because he's obviously not been in the team much, so I've not really seen him much, why he wasn't in the team, because I've always thought he was a different level to Bakary Sagna, but he actually can't run.
That's astonishing. I think
it's a bit mad how we didn't stand Mane on him just for 20 minutes.
Just go and
stand on him, because all you need to do is kick the ball past him and run.
I think
Firmino at one stage gave him like a 5 yard head start and beat him. And Firmino's not slow, but he's not exactly Usain Bolt, is he?
No, he's not Mane.
No, we don't want
to know. I wonder if we might have done that had we needed to get something, if you know what I mean. We were 1-0 up. So I just wonder if it was just, listen, we've got this shape, this is what we're doing, everyone knows the role, this is working quite well together, you're all tucked in, you all know what you're about. But I couldn't get over how slow he was at times.
It was incredible.
He was right in front of us, wasn't he? Your seat to my seat are almost parallel.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow. Just can't turn around, can't run.
He's so finished, it's incredible.
Who was their pick for you? I thought David Silva. He was the one that worried me the most when he had the ball. Out of all of them.
I thought Fernandinho played quite well.
I thought Fernandinho played well.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, he's in
a midfield battle. Yeah, he did. Yeah,
he's going to suit. He's going to suit all the midfield.
Does his contract expire in the summer? I think pretty sure it does. You know,
they might want to get that sorted.
I think they probably should.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's not for us to discuss what they're doing and about.
Or we should maybe go and have a word with them.
Maybe me and you, Phil, and we can do the preliminary chat after we've had our oxygen.
Should we see if he wants to go to Wings in Manchester? We'll have a nice Chinese.
It'd be lovely.
Yeah,
that's
Rob.
I've never been to, what's it called? Wings. Yeah. Is it good?
It's good, yeah.
Oh, let's go, yeah.
We'll go there with Fernandinho.
I could kill to go now.
Got your car, mate?
What?
Got your car?
I've got to go to my mum's.
Wow.
She wouldn't understand.
She wouldn't understand. Okay, we begin to wrap this up.
Well, it was quite interesting. We seem to just basically spend quite a lot of time kicking the ball long in between Stones and Otamendi. Not like to anyone, just putting the ball in the middle of the two of them, which is completely at odds with anything I've ever seen a Jürgen Klopp team.
They went very long, I thought, all the time.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it's such an interesting game, and it was an interesting game, but it's they think, right, we want to beat this press and we don't want to get caught out and we don't want to lose the ball, so they're going long on the one hand, and on the other hand we're thinking, right, what we want to do is we want to let them know what we're about, turn them around, turn it into a scrappy affair. And that's why it degenerated into the sort of game it was not a good game of football. It doesn't touch the skies and it just becomes this series of attritional battles. It was attritional, and that's because both sides have been sent out to be attritional to a certain extent. I think a couple of players aren't playing that well, but I think for instance, De Bruyne just doesn't play well as an example, and I think he was probably the one that City were going to look at as the one who's going to offer us a little bit of stardust somewhere.
Yeah.
It was going to be him. Similarly, I think that you all mentioned a couple of times where Firmino's passing and touch just lets him down, but he scraps all the way through the game. He battles. He's a good player for Liverpool, even though he's not flying. But I think that's the sort of game it became. But that's because of the approaches of the managers. Mm. The managers have told them to do that. You know, Phil's right. How often have you seen us just go? It's not quite anonymously long, but pretty close to it, just to sort of sow a bit of doubt, sow a bit of chaos, and just feel as though, you know, almost certainly it's been said to them, if you ever get in any doubt, boys, just go there, just go and do that, just send it between those two, and we'll see what happens, and we'll then press them and harry them and worry them.
I actually wonder if both managers put too much fear into their players. I think lads were being pressed before they were being pressed in their minds. I think that's why we saw error-laden game where, look, I mean, City must have put the ball into touch pointlessly time and time again. That's just nerves. And our lads, that, you know, it's Firmino wayward in his passing, the touch doesn't go when he's about to be put through. It's not just him, there's lots and lots of that. And it's, I just think, something mental.
Yeah, maybe just the pressure of the situation. City are now, 10 points off? And so, you know, they would have all been telling each other how crucial it was that they got a result. Liverpool the same, because they would have been, you know, 9 off if we hadn't got the result. So I think it was just the pressure of the situation and how big a game it had become. You know, quite funny that Klopp said, like, you know, oh yeah, I'd buy a ticket for this game. And then it wasn't
and then he turned it into a dog fest. It
wasn't by any means a classic. I think it was really, to watch in the ground, it was a really intriguing game that you got there.
It was compelling, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I never get why people go, that's a bad game. Yeah, I sat through things like that. I go, Jesus, it was unbelievable. I don't know what bad or good is. That was just incredible.
I was reading
watch.
Stuff on Twitter from like neutrals afterwards. Oh, that was rubbish. Was it?
Yeah, but that's for people who see football as circus.
But even still, bullshit. Even that though, sometimes you can enjoy a game of football that's not got football quality.
Suppose, did you see the Glasgow Derby?
Well, that was a crap game of football.
It was great fun though.
Exactly.
It was nuts.
Exactly.
I can do a whole show on that. We can't do that now.
Okay. Did you see that clip that's been doing the rounds on Twitter? I think it was Palace v Watford. And it just said, like, this is, you know, someone put it up and said, this is why I love English football, the beautiful game, the best league in the world and all that. And it's honestly for about 2 minutes, them just hoofing it into each other's arse, just bringing it down, boom, big header, boom, big header back, boom. And it's like, this is awful. But yeah, different types of football. Different types of football can still entertain, can't it?
That game to me was, I've said this before, that 80s, an 80s throwback game, when there was a period in the mid 80s when there was a big five, I think it was, or big four, when Everton and Liverpool were supreme, and it was, and everyone had midfield juggernaut players. We had the Soonesses, Everton would have Peter Reid, everyone would have a big, and Brian Robson for United, and the games were like that a hell of a lot of the time. Yeah. Because you'd get away and we'd just kick, as you said at the top of the show, earning the right to play for 90 minutes. And I've actually always quite enjoyed that kind of game, as long as you win.
It very much is, as long as you win. Listen, I'm going to ask you for a man of the match before we disappear off. And I'm also going to actually do something again. Who stood out for them? You both sort of tried to do this. You've said Silver and Fernandinho. What I'd say is, who would you have? If you could have any of those, which one would you like to see in the Liverpool squad next season? Not that we'll get any of them, but I'll ask you for man of the match first, Gareth.
A Liverpool man of the match?
Yeah.
Got to go Clavin, I think. Like I said before, dead. I was a little bit worried that he gets that card so early. I was genuinely worried, just thought that's not good. And then just the experience he shows for the rest of the 90, for that never to be an issue. And just thought he was strong, he was in the right position all the time. Phil said earlier as well, he's not bad on the ball. So yeah, Clavin, because if you think back to the start of the season as well and some of the doubts that he sowed in people's minds early on about whether he was any good or not, I think they've completely gone now. He's okay. A good player.
Okay. Phil?
I thought Henderson played really well. And no one's really talked about it.
He did play very well.
I thought he was brilliant.
He recycled the ball fantastically.
I thought his passing was even a bit off.
He got around the
attitude.
There was one first touch ball. I think it was one touch ball just over someone's head, and he put him in about 5 yards, 10 yards of space in the first half. In the second half. And little things like that.
Well,
he's really developed. He's really developed this season in terms of his sort of awareness of everything that's going on around him.
I think it's interesting, Phil, watching him on the same pitch as Fernandinho, because I thought Fernandinho played well. And for me, they've been of their type, the two best midfielders in the country. And it was interesting that it's a little different from the era that Rob mentions, in that there's still two other players almost between them, if you know what I mean. There's still, if you play a 4-3-3, both of them at the base of that 4-3-3. So it's deeper.
Yeah,
it never quite becomes Peter Reid and Steve McMahon steaming into a tackle against each other. No. They're almost just miss each other by 5 yards, if you know what I mean. But I thought you saw what both of them were really, really good at throughout the game. I thought they were both impressive.
Yeah, I agree completely.
I thought Henderson was very, very good. I mean, just generally on Henderson, I think there's sometimes a rush to say he was great when he doesn't need to have been great. I think sometimes when we're at home and we're battering teams, he's perfectly competent, but he's not man of the match. I think when people have seen him as man of the match, because he doesn't need to be man of the match.
Yeah.
But in a game like that, you need him to be man of the match. And I think he was.
He would have been if he hadn't gone off.
Yeah, I was with Gareth on Clavin. I'd almost forgotten the Henderson fact, because during the game.
So was I really, but I thought it'd be a bit boring if three people said Clavin.
Clavin for me would get the man of the match, because I think he was faultless. Word perfect. There was nothing, you know. Okay, so in that sort of game, again, it's easier to be the best player when you're called upon to be purely defensive.
Some referees could genuinely have sent him off though.
For like, what? Which
there
bit?
was a foul just after.
Yes, there was, wasn't there? Yeah.
Which, if he hadn't been booked, is maybe a yellow card.
And then maybe you're looking at him differently, obviously. But I still think, you know, that was his best performance for Liverpool, and he stepped up in a big game. It's a major sign. He's looking like a real find, I think.
Okay, and who would you have from the City squad, Rob?
Well, David, who would I have?
Yeah, you can have anyone.
Before the game yesterday, I would have said, I wouldn't have blinked, I'd have said probably I'd have had Raheem back in a heartbeat, although I do like De Bruyne as a player a lot. I haven't seen Raheem twice against us, you know, when we beat them 3-0 at Anfield last season, and now I think, yeah, I don't think you're quite showing in the big enough games, Raheem. There's still some doubts in my mind about Raheem. I know he is a very, very good player. So, on balance, who would I have? Probably, I don't know, De Bruyne. Maybe change my mind twice there.
Phil?
Sergio Aguero, isn't it?
I'm just asking. It cannot be Aguero. I mean, he doesn't kick it yesterday.
Well, yesterday he didn't, but he's been in England for a while.
He had a shot straight at the keeper.
I just think he's brilliant.
I think on any one given day, yes. But if you said who do you want to buy, because you can, I'm not sure I'd have him, because I don't think he's got that long.
If you're taking age into consideration, it's probably De Bruyne, isn't it?
Yeah.
From an ability point of view at this moment.
Yeah, then it's Aguero.
Gareth?
I was going to say De Bruyne, yeah. He was the fella yesterday where, when he was getting a bit of space, I was starting to get a little bit worried. And I thought he'd shifted at one point as well to try and get himself into the game, going a little bit wider, and like I say earlier, that he had a little run
where he got through and he got a shot off, and I was worried because how many times have you seen him do something from that kind of position? And I think he's one. I think he consistently puts in good performances as well from when I watch City. So yeah, he'd be the one for me.
Okay, thank you very much to Gareth, to Phil, and to Rob. It's been a slightly messy show, but I'm sure you're all right with that sort of thing. Thank you very much for listening, and have a fantastic new year. Liverpool will. They find themselves just 6 points behind Chelsea. We're going to Sunderland. We're leaving in a minute. It's going to be an absolute belter up these Reds. What a gang of lads!
Sports Social Podcast Network.